From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief for July 15th. It's Jessica, July 15th. The news desk, 10 stories, here's the one that opens it. Let's get into it. First, from The Bulwark. As America is losing friends, China is courting them. China's analysts have been watching the NATO summit and, rather than counting on brute force, they're betting that the United States will keep losing its partner network. The picture they see is a world where America's strength still lies in its web of alliances, development aid, and information programs, while Beijing is quietly weaving its own web through the Belt and Road, port stakes, telecom deals, and mining contracts across Africa, Europe, and the Caribbean. Unlike Russia's coercive tactics, military drills, energy pressure, and outright invasions, China is buying influence, offering infrastructure and financing that bind countries to its economic orbit. That strategy has been reinforced by the recent expansion of BRICS, which now includes Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, the UAE, and Indonesia. The group isn't a military bloc. Its appeal is the vague, flexible platform it gives nations that want alternatives to Western institutions without fully aligning with Beijing or Moscow. The upshot is a shifting balance. The United States still commands a deep, multifaceted partnership network, but China is steadily courting those same partners with long-term investment and trade ties, turning economic leverage into political influence. As the alliance fabric thins, Beijing's quiet, investment-driven approach may become the dominant way to shape global alignments. Next. Second, from The Guardian UK. Heating oil customers to get up to £350 compensation for cancelled orders. About 1,700 heating oil customers are getting up to £350 in compensation after their orders were cancelled during the Middle East crisis. This happened when suppliers scrapped existing orders and offered new deliveries at higher prices. The UK's Competition and Markets Authority investigated complaints and found that this was unfair to customers. As a result, those affected will receive compensation, but it's not clear how many suppliers are involved or what the total payout will be. The CMA is still working on the details of the compensation scheme. Up next. Third, from The Guardian UK, Green-led Council plans to ban cooperation with Home Office on immigration raids. Lewisham's Green-led Council is set to vote next week on a motion that would stop its officials from helping the Home Office with immigration raids. The push came after staff uncovered a plan to tap environmental health data to single out restaurant workers for deportation. Council members say the move is the first step toward a network of sanctuary boroughs across London. If the motion passes, they'll review all current procedures to ensure no cooperation with deportation efforts. The decision could reshape how local authorities interact with immigration enforcement, signaling a new stance on protecting vulnerable residents. And then, fourth, from The Guardian UK, Labour must stop just writing a check for benefit claimants, says McFadden. Pat McFadden, the Work and Pension Secretary, said, Labour can't keep just writing a check for health and disability claimants. He's pushing for a shift toward real job support, aiming to help people with health conditions move into work rather than staying on benefits. The government is gearing up for a fresh round of welfare reform, with ministers waiting on a series of key reviews before rolling out new measures. The focus, McFadden explained, will be on practical assistance, training, placement, and workplace adjustments, so claimants have a clearer path to sustainable employment. This signals a move from simple cash payouts to a more active, supportive approach. Next. Fifth, from Independent, beyond the Strait of Hormuz. How Gulf countries are preparing for life without the waterway. The tension over the Strait of Hormuz has left a fifth of global oil stuck in limbo, and the Gulf's leaders are quietly mapping a way forward that doesn't hinge on that narrow channel. Saudi Arabia is pushing a massive pipeline that would run along the Red Sea coast, linking its fields directly to new export terminals and cutting the need for ships to thread through the strait. Across the water, the United Arab Emirates is expanding its port capacity and investing in rail links that could ferry crude and petrochemicals to Europe and Asia without ever touching the waterway. Meanwhile, Qatar is leaning into its LNG boom, building more liquefaction capacity and forging long-term contracts that sidestep oil altogether. Oman, with its quieter profile, is polishing a network of inland storage hubs and exploring a modest pipeline to the Persian Gulf, giving it a fallback if sea routes get choked. The broader picture is one of diversification. More pipelines, more rail, more storage, and a push to turn the region's energy mix into something less vulnerable to a single choke point. All of this is happening while the U.S. and Iran keep trading strikes, a backdrop that's forcing the Gulf to think long-term. The emerging infrastructure isn't just about moving oil. It's about reshaping trade routes, securing revenue streams, and giving these countries a bit more breathing room when geopolitics gets tense. It's a steady, pragmatic shift that's already taking shape, even if the headlines still focus on the flashpoints. Up next, sixth from the Hindu top, project to fill 88 tanks in Haveri district will be helpful in rain deficit years, says Karnataka's PWD minister Satish Jarkiholi. So I dug into this project in Haveri district, and it seems the Karnataka government is planning to build check dams on the Tunga and Virata rivers. According to the PWD minister, this will help boost the groundwater table, which is a big deal for the area since it's already experiencing rain deficits. The project aims to fill 88 tanks, which should provide some much-needed relief to the local communities. It's worth noting that the minister hasn't specified a timeline or budget for the project, but it's clear they're prioritizing water conservation efforts. And then, seventh, from the Guardian World, Japan officials hunt bear that raided couple's fridge amid string of break-ins. In a small Japanese town, officials have been dealing with a string of break-ins, 14 in the past 2 weeks. They're setting up traps and electric fences to catch the culprit. The most recent incident involved an elderly couple, Mitsuo and his wife, who came home to find their kitchen in disarray. A large Asiatic black bear had raided their fridge, leaving food scattered all over the floor. The bear was spotted by Mitsuo when he went to investigate a noise, and his wife quickly called the police. Authorities are now on the lookout for the bear, hoping to catch it before it strikes again. Next, eighth, from RFI English, French PM in Morocco with a dozen ministers for a two-day visit. Sébastien Lecornu is heading to Rabat with about a dozen ministers for a two-day stopover on Wednesday and Thursday. The delegation's goal is to tighten the France-Morocco partnership, and officials expect a handful of deals to come out of the talks. It's being framed as the start of a fresh chapter in the country's rapprochement, with both sides signaling a push for deeper cooperation across trade, security, and cultural exchange. The visit should set the tone for the next round of bilateral projects, and it looks like the agenda is already humming with concrete plans. Up next, ninth, from Straits Times, Muslim man stabbed multiple times in Utah over his religion, police say. So, I've got this one from Utah, confirmed by police court records on Tuesday. A guy was stabbed multiple times, and the attacker said he targeted the victim because of his Muslim faith. The incident happened in Utah, but I don't have a specific location yet. The attacker's been arrested, but I don't have his name or any other details. And then, 10th, from the Guardian World. ICAC inquiry raises questions over whether taxpayer funds were used in alleged illegal political donations. The Independent Commission Against Corruption is investigating Catholic schools' NSI dollars over alleged donations to the Liberal Party, which may not have been declared and exceeded donation caps. An education funding expert says this highlights the need for governments to ensure taxpayer funds are being spent as intended. The inquiry raises questions about whether public money was used for political donations rather than approved purposes. Catholic schools NSA0 receive significant funding from the state government, with the expert suggesting that governments need to verify how this funding is being used to prevent misuse. The investigation is ongoing, with ICAC looking into the allegations of undeclared and excessive donations. That's the day. Back at the desk tomorrow, what to watch is in your subscribe link. Want this every morning? It's free. Set up your own feed at storyflow.com.